Welcome to The Babblery, conversations where we explore the knowledge, opinions, passions, and obsessions of my guests. This is Suki Wessling, and today's interview was recorded for an article published in Growing Up in Santa Cruz, www.growingupsc.com. Today's guest, Erin Buchla, owns a couple of coffee shops, but that's not why I interviewed her. Erin is the rare person who puts her soul into her work, and in her case, her soul is all about nurturing children. I will let her tell the story. I recorded this interview for Growing Up's Moms Who Make a Difference article series. Erin's son is a grown-up, but it's clear she's never stopped mothering. All right, so I am here with Erin of Cruz Coffee, and we are going to talk about, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but so welcome, Erin.
Welcome. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I thought maybe you could first just introduce yourself and give us a sense of who you are and what you do.
All righty. So I'm Erin Buchla, and I own a couple of coffee shops up in Scotts Valley, a drive-through coffee shop, Cruz Coffee, and I just opened a cafe at the transit station, Cruz Coffee Cafe. So I was a nanny for 27 years. I was in childcare, and 4 years ago, the doctor said, no more childcare for you. Holding babies on my hips for that long was making my spine go out a little bit. So I had to reinvent myself at 50. I had a friend that did coffee roasting and said, hey, if I buy a coffee shop, will you roast some coffee for me? And he said, yeah. And that's how Cruz began.
Wow. So that's really interesting that you were in childcare, small children. So what did you like about being, caring for small children as opposed to older children?
You know, I did care for them all. I was a preschool teacher. I went to Cabrillo, got my early childhood education there. I had a young son who went to school with me. He actually took college classes at 2 years old. and then he worked with me at the preschool. I started for the county preschool, Emmeline. And I worked for SEMCA, which is at Temple Bethel. And I just loved being a preschool teacher. Originally, I just took the classes because I had a 2 year old and I wanted to learn how to be a good mom. And I realized, oh my gosh, I love kids. So this is what I'm going to do with my life.
So you didn't really know that you liked working with kids before that?
No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I took the class because I thought I would like to be the best mom I can be. And I think these early childhood education classes could really give me a little insight, especially on a 2 year old boy. And I started taking the classes, and you have to do a lot of work in preschools and stuff when you're taking the classes. And I realized I just really bonded with the kids. I loved them. I had so much fun. And throughout the years, I realized, wow, you're really making a difference in the development of this child. And you're creating good humans to go out into the world. And this is definitely your calling.
That's great. So what do you like, you know, give me a couple of things that you like about maybe different ages, because preschool, you know, we're talking babies all the way up to kids who are ready for kindergarten.
Right. So preschool, I usually worked in like the 3 year old class. Although, you know, I would be all over with all the different kids. And honestly, I love all of the development. I just think it's so fun watching them learn so much every day. And as we, most of us know, it's the first 5 years of life you learn more developmentally than you do the rest of your life. So this is such an important time to really just nourish their little mind growth. And it was just super fun. Uh-huh. And after preschool, I went into nannying. And my first nanny job was with twins. So after that, if you've worked with twins, parents really like that. And I ended up studying twins and becoming a twin specialist. I'm doing air quotes right there. Uh-huh. So I've had 13 sets of twins in my care. And then I would normally start with them as infants. So I would teach parents how to nurse with twins, how you can sleep, how you can get kids to sleep with twins, you know, just really help them in the beginning when it's super duper hard having two. Mm-hmm. And then I would usually stay with them. The longest I stayed with a family was until they were 8 years old. So wow. A good chunk of time.
Uh-huh.
But I loved it.
Yeah. So you know, what do you notice about twins that's different from siblings, just non-twin siblings?
I find a real yin and yang in twins, where one child maybe is more athletic, the other one maybe more into reading and drawing, or, you know, it's really interesting. There's definitely like a balance thing. And that's been with most of the twins I've had in my care.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's definitely a different bond. You know, I do see a language thing happening with them. They just have a best friend. They really do have a best friend that just really understands them and gets them. Uh-huh. And they just...
A language thing, what do you mean by that?
They have their own language for sure. They feel each other what the other one's feeling, and they're very empathetic to each other. It's just a different bond. It's a super close bond usually.
Uh-huh. Did you have any who weren't super close? Because I actually know adult twins who weren't.
Yes. I mean, I know adults too. I may have an employee. I've never had ones that weren't close in my care.
Uh-huh.
So I was batting 100 out of 100.
And were they mostly fraternal twins, or did you have any identicals?
I had all fraternal twins except for one set of not fraternal, of identical.
Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. I noticed it was really interesting to me when my kids were in preschool. And they went to Simcoe, by the way. I don't know if we crossed over at any point. I don't remember anyone named Aaron. Uh-huh. There. Anyway, that was right when in vitro started to really grow as an option, and all of a sudden there were all of these fraternal twins. Class with them. It was sort of surprising. It was like, wow, look at all these twins. But that's an interesting thing, that twin thing you were saying about the yin and yang, and there's actually research about identical twins, because of course they look at them, they're interested in what's genetic and what's environment and what's something else.
Sure, of course.
And they find that twins who are raised together tend to be more different than twins who are raised apart.
Uh-huh.
Fascinating. What do you think that is?
That one, but... Yeah, I mean, as unfortunately, some of it is environmental, because as parents, we often say, that's the quiet one. That's the loud one. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you see children live up to those names. But some of it is just natural, how their personalities are. And they just, like I said, they kind of balance each other.
Yeah.
So I find it fascinating for sure. That's, you know, part of the reason I really got into twins was because when you study early childhood education, you really learn about the different developmental stages in children and how siblings, like first sibling, second sibling, third sibling, the same thing that happens to them in a family, say a divorce or anything like that, affects each of them differently because they're in a different developmental part of their life. But with twins, technically, they're in the same developmental time when these things happen. And they it's still different for them. And that's what really, really interested me, because then I said, each of these child, it's so, I can see that there's genetics. It's not all social. Mm-hmm. It's who they are. It's their soul. It's their mm-hmm. being. And that's what really I enjoy.
Interesting. Yeah, it's so funny. I never know where my conversations with people are going to go. And I did not expect this conversation about twins. It's fascinating, really fascinating. And so, yeah. So how old is your own son now?
He's 32.
All right. And years. Does he live locally?
Not much.
Years, yes. Does he live locally?
Yeah, he's 32. He just got married during COVID maybe a year ago. Uh-huh. And he just bought a house. He's living up in Stockton. He was helping me with the cafe for a bit. Uh-huh. You know, and hopefully, you know, maybe he's going to give me some grandchildren. To make a great dad, because I told you he already went through all the early childhood education classes with me when he was two. So uh-huh. he's so good with children as well.
Excellent. And, you know, maybe you can speak just a little bit about, you know, I'm sure that you've noticed this. A lot of parents of preschoolers can be pretty anxious about lots of things, lots of little things about their kids. What do you say now as a mom who has fully launched her son and who is clearly proud of him and seeing him thrive?
You know, what I tell parents often, this is a little off subject, a little on subject, when I'm getting interviewed for nanny positions and stuff, parents would say, oh, do you work on their ABCs? Do you work on their 1-2-3s? Do you work on, you know, a lot of academic questions. And this was for young children. And I said, that's not my style of nannying. I work on conflict resolution, anger management, just basically being a good person, having good manners, you know, at the restaurant or something. You know, how do we eat at a restaurant? How do we talk to people? And just communication skills. And really being able to communicate what your feelings are. Mm-hmm. I think that when you give them that basis, you've given them the foundation to do everything else they need to do in life.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I just think it's so interesting that people, you know, I notice now how worried people get about reading skills. And, you know, one of my kids learned to read really, really early. We didn't even know when he learned to read because he just sort of started reading. And the other one, you know, really resisted. And guess what? They both were and are great college students, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't matter in the end what age they learned to read, you know?
Sure.
And that's,
unfortunately, there's an air of competitive parenting where people often think that, you know, when we have a conversation, we talk about who's reading, who's walking, who's doing this. And so some people feel a little bit uncomfortable with it because maybe their child isn't there. But what I tell parents is like, they will get there. They will get there. You know, so each of our paths is different. All we can do is really, you know, help support their self-esteem and them being able to feel good about exploring and learning and doing something new. Mm-hmm. And once we support that, they go out and they get it.
They do. You know, I love the idea of making sure that we support the fundamental stuff, because without the fundamental stuff, you know, yeah, you can have a kid who learns how to read books at 4, but if they can't resolve a conflict with another human being, that's going to affect their job skills, their earnings, their interpersonal relationships for the rest of their lives.
Yes, with everybody, including teachers. And if you want a good education, you want a child that can sit and listen and can explain how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So, these are skill sets that will help them in education.
Yeah, Yeah, that's very wise. Thank you. So I wanted to ask you about your cafes, because the reason that I got the recommendation to interview you for Growing Up in Santa Cruz had to do with your cafes and what you do with them. Apparently, they're pretty kid friendly. Can you talk about what sort of things you do?
Sure. So we started with the drive-through, and that was 4 years ago. And obviously, I love children, and I really wanted to still do stuff with children, but I'm just not allowed to carry them around all day. So, you know, at the drive-through, we always have a children's kids snacks that are available for free, and they pick through a bin and they get little kids treats. But during COVID, you know, I was throwing COVID-friendly events there. During Christmas, we did like a hot chocolate day where the kids could come through and get free hot chocolate through the drive-through and get a map of the lights that were up, and, you know, do a drive-through Christmas lights and hot chocolate day. And we had an event where we did a parking lot party, and I had mats out several feet away from each other, masks on, and we had some magicians and fairies out there and stuff for them to watch outside in the parking lot, distanced. Mm-hmm. And then we had a drive-through donut hole event there. That was when the restrictions were really strong again. So I set up a few different tables in the parking lot. The first one had your bowl, then you got to pick your donut holes, and then you drove to the next one, and that had like ice cream sundae toppings. And you drive to the next one, it had fruit. And you drive to the last one, it had savory toppings like pulled pork and fried chicken. And you just made those crazy donut hole bowls. And the kids just went crazy over that. The moms were like so thankful, sitting in their SUV with the kids hanging out the back window. I want whipped cream and I want raspberries. And then usually the moms would fill their bowls up with the fruit, and then at the end the dad would say pulled pork on a donut hole, you know, I want that. So it was super fun. We got to have the whole family just having a good time from their cars and doing something they've never done before. And at that event, I had a magician in the parking lot just doing tricks while the kids were driving through.
Fun.
So we try to do fun things for the kids and whatnot at the drive-through. And then I just opened the cafe. We're actually going to be celebrating our one-year anniversary, June 11th, and we'll have lots of children's activities going on for that one.
Okay.
But at the cafe,
can you definitely email me information about that, because we can make sure to get that information in the article since it'll come out June 1st.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, we have, you know, some pen and tattoo artists, and we have face painting, and we have a hula hoop troupe coming out to do hula hoop training, and it's going to be a good time. Lots of food and drinks, and I always have art projects out, so the cafe has a shelf. I switch out the art projects or crafts. Sometimes I make homemade Play-Doh, and the kids can take that home with them, but then I always have pens, papers. I have stamps, postal stamps. So if the kids would like to draw a card or make a card, they can have an envelope and a stamp, and they can put it across the street as the post office from the cafe. So they can just toss it in the mail and send grandma or grandpa a little handmade card from Cruz. And we always have crafts there, spring crafts or whatever, you know, happens to be going on. And then usually around the holidays, I'll do some special stuff outside. We've done flower arrangements. We've done a couple of fundraisers where there was one kid who lost his Pokemon cards on top of the car.
Oh.
So I invited all these parents to come out and their kids to bring a couple Pokemon cards. We just put them out on this 14-foot table, and the kids all shared a couple cards with the boy that lost them. And he was just so happy, and it was really fun. They got to meet other people that were into what they're into. So
that's really adorable. Like you know, listening to you talk, I'm sort of wondering why every business doesn't incorporate, I mean, every business where it's appropriate doesn't incorporate something for kids. Because I remember when my kids were little, we particularly liked the restaurants and the places that had something specific for the kids that was not for us. And so we definitely voted with our dollars. So it's not necessarily something you're going to lose money on, right?
Right. And I think everybody, for me, I really enjoy watching the kids do that. It's almost as exciting for me. It probably is even more exciting slightly. And I like to see the regulars because the kids know exactly where it is and they go over there and they grab what they can. You know, right now there's beads and stuff. And so you grab a bowl and you put your beads in there and you get your wire and you can make yourself a necklace or a bracelet, things like that. And then I always have sensory play out there. So we have the little pop-it play toys and things that I can sanitize afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find it fun watching them. I think it's just so, and the parents just are thrilled because the kid is sitting there having a good time and asking to come in. And of course we have cookies and things of that nature. So sweeten the pot a little more there.
Indeed. Yeah. So the parents can go get their cup of coffee.
Yes. And indeed. The coffee and the kids are having a good time. And yeah, it's just fun. And I enjoy it. It really, you know, keeps me connected to where my heart is. You know, I love coffee. I love my cafe, but I miss my children. So yeah. It's a good compromise for sure.
You've been listening to The Babblery. Please visit www.babblery.com for links and information related to this podcast.